kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share with you about the kingdom of God. And I have a title today for our teaching, and we're calling this Inheriting a Kingdom. Inheriting a Kingdom. And I want to base this from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 25 to 29. That is the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 25 to 29. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now here it's been in the context of running the race of faith and hearing the voice of God, and how in the Old Testament they heard the voice of God through Moses, who preached to them. And that same voice that now speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, who has come to us. And we take it up in verse 25, and he says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." So we really are hearing God. We have now the Holy Spirit. He's baptized us. He's come to us as our teacher. So how much more under grace? That's the emphasis, he says here. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now his promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." So there is a shaking, and there will come a shaking, and there is a shaking. And we know that God now is shaking until nothing stands that is left except it stands in him. What is that referring to? What is it indicating? It is indicating Christ's kingdom that is soon to come and be established. So the kingdoms of this age, the kingdom of this age, and we know who is the head of this kingdom at the moment, is the enemy himself. And that is why the Holy Spirit is beginning to shake. And we are seeing this shaking. We have it all around us now, for the very purpose, for the establishment of Christ's kingdom to be visibly seen soon on the earth. So he says, "Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." So the heavens are going to be shaken as well. Why the heavens? Because we're told that even the stars are not clean in his sight through the fall of man. So he says, "Know this, yet once more," indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So there we go. Everything that is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ will remain. So you've got to make sure you are on that foundation. And God has set the foundation of the kingdom in the church. The doorway into the kingdom of God is set in his body, the body of Christ. And that is why it is our proclamation. It is our message. We proclaim the kingdom of God. We are not proclaiming a denomination, an organization, a religion. We proclaim only one message, and that is the kingdom of God. Anything else is less. Anything else that does not proclaim the kingdom of God is not embracing the full revelation and gospel of God's word. It's inadequate. And sadly, we have so much that's proclaimed today is inadequate. Only the kingdom of God can encompass God himself. That is why there's no beginning and there is no end. It is the only message that it will encompass God himself in Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And that is how he's going to come in the last days. Whenever God judges, you see he always comes as fire. That's why we're being purged now. That's why the Holy Spirit is purging us. Purging spiritually the sons of Levi. He's getting all that grime, all that unbelief, all that sin out of our lives through the blood of the Lamb. And how does he do it? He does it through the Word of God. Through meetings like this, he sets deliverance in the meeting so that when we leave this meeting, we are different to when we came. That's what the body of Christ is about. If my life has not changed as a result of that meeting, then something is wrong. Something's not working right. And I expect that, even though I'm the preacher, I'm the mouthpiece, I still expect something within me to change. Why? Because God says he's a consuming fire. So it's fire, it's the burning up of dross. And I've said many, many times, he's got us here today to get rid of unbelief so that we are believing. And how we need to believe in these last days. But he says here, and this is the interesting thing about what I'm talking about here, inheriting a kingdom. It's in verse 28. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom. Now, I just want to say in passing, because I've mentioned this many, many times, there's a lot of confusion about the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is nigh with you. The kingdom of God is in you. It's all part of the same message. You can't divide it. We are inheriting a kingdom. That is what we're aiming for. That is our future. We also, through the new birth, have the kingdom within us. That's why we preach this message. This is why we call people to repent, because the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. We also know that Christ is coming with his kingdom to establish it upon the earth. But it's all the same message. Don't try and divide it, because that is where confusion comes. I know I've looked at this. I do studies sometimes. I go online. I look up certain things. And I see it every time. They're trying to put it in boxes. And then we wonder why we get confused. And of course, they were confused when Christ came. When he came, the Pharisees didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. Some thought, well, is this Elijah? Has he come to establish a kingdom? You know, they're all waiting for a kingdom, but they were not going to accept his kingdom. They wanted a political kingdom. They wanted to get the Romans off their back. And you can't blame them. They were ruling with control. They were cruel, the Romans. And they were cruel, especially to Christians. And we have to ask ourselves, if we lived in those times, would we not want them off our back? Anyone would. But you see, you have to be of the Spirit. You have to discern by the Spirit. It is by revelation that God reveals to us. Flesh and blood cannot reveal these things. It has to come by the Spirit. And the Spirit will always confirm through the Word of God. So before we start to judge, you know, just think about these things. But of course we know that the Pharisees, the scribes, were controlling the religious system of its time. We have today, it's no different. We've got the religious system trying to control Christianity. Rome is trying to control Christianity. We have our modern day Pharisees. There's nothing new under the sun. The old devil's work does not change through every generation. And it's trying to control, you see. But God is revealing to us that the overcomers are inheriting the kingdom. Not a kingdom, the kingdom of God. You see? There are many out there, and religious people are inheriting a kingdom. It's a kingdom of denomination. It's a kingdom of Roman Catholicism. It's a kingdom of whatever. That is my religion. That is my identity. You see? They are kingdoms. They are dominions. They're principalities. Many times a country can be called a principality. What does that really mean? It means a kingdom. So we've got these counterfeit kingdoms. But there is only one kingdom for the Christian, and that is the kingdom of God. So we are inheriting, as it says here, this kingdom. Now our pressing in is inheriting this kingdom. I go back to that vision that was given years and years ago. I always recite this because it's so important. But remember, years back, a sister had a vision of where she saw a big white sort of cloth. Huge it was, this white material. And she was looking at this, and this lovely glisten white. It was pure white. And then suddenly she began to see faces appearing, and another face, and another face. And as these faces were pushing and pushing against this cloth, so the impression of the faces could be seen more and more. And then she began to see hands pushing, pushing against this material. And then the Lord, I think she woke up, and then the Lord began to speak to her through the word and said that my church, the overcomers, will press in and they will take the kingdom violently in these last days. And we'll look at that. And so that's always spoken to me. I've never forgotten that. You know, there's certain things that we've received in the deeper life that just stay with you. There are other things, yes, they're to exhort, you know, they've encouraged. But there are certain things that just remain. And that is one of them. And I knew instantly, because God began to speak through the word to me, what this was referring to. That through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, through the last day outpouring of the Spirit, we will have a remnant who will start to press in for the kingdom of God. And that will become their message. That will become their vision. That will become their stand. They won't be held back by other kingdoms of men, religion. They will see and embrace the kingdom of God. How do they see it? Because it's a revelation. Blessed are your eyes if they see, for flesh and blood does not show you these things. It comes by my Spirit, says the Lord. So this is what it's about. You see, the Lord has been doing a deep work of deliverance in us, removing all those hindrances in our lives so that we can see what God is presenting in these last days. I've always said that the church's deliverance out of unbelief, bondage, will take a time. And indeed it is. You see, all our ancestors were bound in these religious states. God was moving, don't get me wrong, but there comes a time when you get that deliverance, and that is why we have the imagery of the man-child in Revelation 12. As the man-child is developing, as the man-child is ready to be born, it is a deliverance. That the imagery of the man-child in nature is deliverance. That's what you're seeing there. You are seeing something being birthed and coming forth in pain, in turmoil, ready to be birthed in the last days. We know it because Romans 8 tells us, groaning creation will be released. And that is why we're pressing in now, taking the kingdom and what pertains to the kingdom. And God has to remove those hindrances for us to see eternity. We've got to become eternal minded. And the only way we become eternal minded is when we start to take our eyes off this world and we begin to look to the kingdom of God. In other words, we are looking to eternity. This is very, very important. Turn with me, if you will, to John 18, verse 36, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Let's get there. John 18 and verse 36, which says that Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." This is where Jesus was brought before Pilate. He didn't say a lot, but he did reveal very clearly to the Jews who were handing him over to be crucified, their Messiah. He made it very clear, "I came for you. I came to establish the kingdom of God." That is what Messiah came to do. But the rejection of Messiah brought about us being grafted in. Hallelujah. And he's saying quite clearly, "You would not be handing me over had you seen what I came for. To establish your kingdom, our kingdom. But because you reject it, you want a political kingdom. You want a kingdom after the flesh and not after the Spirit of God. You're now handing me over to be crucified." That's why he was crucified, because they rejected the kingdom. You see? You know, a lot miss that. A lot don't understand this. But it's quite clear what he's saying here. They wanted their religious traditions. And you see, Christ didn't come with that. And so because it's still delayed, we're waiting for that visible manifestation of the kingdom. We have the Lord's Prayer. "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I wonder how many that recite this every Sunday really understand what that's all about. Well, we're even learning. I'm still learning it. But I have to say, a lot of them haven't got a clue. Haven't got a clue. Because religion, tradition hinders, it gets in the way. Religion is the biggest hindrance to understanding, seeing and experiencing the kingdom of God. The enemy is no fool. Why do I say that? Because you have got two kingdoms in battle. You've got the enemy's kingdom, which he stole from Adam, and you've got God's kingdom, and the two are in conflict. That is why there's such confusion. But praise God, we have the Holy Spirit, and God is teaching us what pertains to the kingdom of God. And I think the only way you can know this is when you are predestined to inherit that kingdom. You are getting revelation of it. You are getting insight of it. You are experiencing it already. That's the kingdom of God that is in us. So it's present. It's a present tense. It's in us, and we are also going to inherit it as well. And we know we are, because we're going to be workers in that kingdom. We are, the church, placed in very high responsible positions in the kingdom when it's established on the earth. You have no idea the position you are going to hold on the earth when Jesus comes to rule and reign, and for 1,000 years where the enemy is chained. There will be peace, there will be the paradise conditions established back on the earth, and the overcomers, the church, hold the highest positions on the earth. In authority, in teaching, in responsibility, in helping, in establishing, bringing back and people to worshipping God again. We've no idea what we're destined for. What your future holds. It's not going to be up on clouds playing harps all day long. Far from it. We see a lot of that when we go in these big houses. And you see all these cherubs, don't you? These baby cherubs. They're all up in the clouds there and playing harps and all that sort of thing. That's the idea of what we've got of it. Not at all. Not at all. That's man's imagination. I'll tell you one thing. You'd soon get bored if that's all it was. Believe me. No. It's infinitely more than that. We know. I've cited this many times from the book of Revelation, what we're destined for. And mark my words, it says quite clearly that the Lord is coming to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And he means what he says. Because man will be in such a state when the Lord Jesus' feet touch the earth, the remnant that's left, he will be so in such a state that he has to be brought back, and it's going to take 1,000 years in which to bring man back to an understanding and an experience of God. Now, praise God, he's already doing that with you now and me. You're in that process, you're in that work already. And I mean, look how long it's taking us. And we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. So you begin to see what this is all about and how this is being unfolded. But the Lord says quite clearly here, if my kingdom were of this world, you would not be handing me over and crucifying me, because you would see what I have come to bring. But they didn't want it. Our Lord, as he grew up, and when he gave his first sermon, which, remember, they were not very happy, and they drove him out and tried to throw him headlong over a cliff. But it says he disappeared. He vanished. See, God was preserving him. He had a clear insight there. They did not want his kingdom. No way. And our Lord knew God was turning to the Gentiles and giving them a chance. So there we are. The kingdom of God is at the moment put on hold. And so what is the emphasis for us? We know it in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and amen. All will be added unto you. You do not have to beg. You do not have to plead. God has said, I will add to you. I will give everything you need to survive and live in this life. And he will. Sometimes it appears he's late, but that doesn't matter. God will provide. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He will provide and does provide. And we have got to get over that hurdle of anxiety attached to that and move on. And just know that whatever, yes, that bill needs paying. It's a week now. I should have paid it. It's a week now. Doesn't matter. It will be bang on God's time. You do not have to fear or become anxious. God will provide. If he can feed the birds out there, how much more us who are made in his sight? So there we are. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, if you're not seeking the kingdom of God, as you should be, then the Holy Spirit comes to prompt you. And he's going to show you. Because you'll soon realize, well, that bill wasn't paid, was it? And God's showing you, I'm not paying that yet, that bill, until you put the kingdom first, okay? So we repent, we humble ourselves, and guess what? Following day, the bill, the money comes to pay it. It's always an indicator to us when we're not putting the kingdom first. We have to do that. And the promise is, all these things will be added unto you. There's the promise. I've had to do that. And it's not come as a shock or a blinding revelation. I've had an inkling I've not been put in the kingdom first as I should. You know, there's been warnings. We get these warnings, and then when you get it right, you confess, get it under the blood of the Lamb, then everything's flowing again. All your needs to survive and live in this life. He does it. He wants to free you up in that so you can start to seek God for greater things. It's moving on. It's called sonship. It's called growing up. You see? Because there's nothing worse than the enemy gripping you and holding you in anxiety, in fear, in confusion, and all those things. It stunts you from spiritually growing. And not only that, it takes such a lot of energy. Such a lot of energy is drained from you in anxiety and fears and all those things. This is why you see people, you know, are so bound up in all of this. They're drained. Have you noticed how drained people are? They're drained physically, mentally, psychologically. This is why we've got so much mental oppression going on. Because this is what it does. Praise God, he's delivered us from all that bondage. Hallelujah. So there we are, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We've got to become kingdom-minded, brothers and sisters. I know I said this earlier in the message, but look at Luke 9 and verse 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. But Jesus said to him, No one having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Not the church that you belong to. Not some elder that you're submitted to. No, it says the kingdom of God. That is our message. That is what we proclaim. And he says, if you don't put that hand to the plough, if you keep looking back, you do not see what is in the kingdom. You're hindered. You can't see it. That is why we need to get delivered from the world, the hold of the world in our lives. And as we get delivered from it, we can then see God's kingdom. And it started to be open up to us. Hallelujah. Because that's what you want to see. That's what Christians are desperate to see. They don't want to keep seeing every time they look in a mirror their own face. They don't want to keep looking at their problems and things of the past. The devil wants to hold us in all of that. When we embrace the kingdom, we're not seeing ourselves or our problems or whatever it is. We're seeing something completely different. We're seeing our inheritance. We're seeing what we're destined for. Hallelujah. What does it say in Matthew 11 and verse 12? Matthew 11 and verse 12. And from that day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is come. And he who hears ears to, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? Is like children sitting in a marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we play the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourn to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. It's expressing absolutely there the state of Israel at that time and just before Messiah came. Because as we know, John the Baptist was the one preparing the way. He had an insight of the kingdom. All the patriarchs saw Christ afar off. They saw a Messiah would come to deal with sin once and for all. Because up until that point, they had to go through sacrificing, the shedding of blood. And they saw this afar off. And so there was, it's expressing a sort of pressing in, a tenacity. They saw what was going to come. A vision. That's what kept them walking, believing in the promised land. And so when John the Baptist, of course, saw Messiah, he realized, I decrease, he increases. For he is the one who will establish his kingdom. He has come with his kingdom. And so it's put on hold because the Jews rejected it. They could not discern. They could not hear. They couldn't hear the prophets. They couldn't hear the teachers. That's why Israel, the time Messiah come, were 400 years without hearing a prophetic voice speaking. They had no one speaking for 400 years. That's how bad it had become. Their apostasy, their falling away. Does it sound any different today? Not at all. In fact, if anything, it's worse, isn't it? It's worse today. And so he says, there is going to be a pressing in for this kingdom. And there's going to be violence. In other words, there's going to be a tenacity. There's going to be, I will not be denied. I will take it, if need be, by force. It is my inheritance. And that's what it is. And the more you are attacked by the powers of darkness, the more you become aware the enemy is trying to rob you, the more it makes us more determined not to play his game. This is the idea of pressing in to our inheritance. And so John is calling those to repent because the kingdom is near. John saw the Christ with his kingdom, and he saw it a kingdom of humility. How do we know? Because Jesus said, baptize me, John. What? He says, me baptize you? What are you talking about? Baptize me, John. He was seeing what the kingdom was about. It is humility. It is love. It is peace. It is joy. Where do we get the idea of that? The fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And so John saw this kingdom, which they were rejecting. And that is why we continue to preach and live by Christ's example. And Christ left an example, didn't he? Just before he went to the cross, there at supper, he took a cloth and water and he washed his disciples' feet. What was he revealing? The kingdom that he's going to come with. Not a kingdom of control, cruel, hatred. On the contrary, a kingdom where we all minister and we love one another unconditionally. That is what his kingdom is about, not of violence. Why has it become violent? Because Satan is becoming trapped. Satan is becoming cornered. And any animal that you corner will attack. That's its nature, to survive. It's called survival. And so the enemy is fighting to try and survive. And he knows that the sons of God are rising up now. They're soon to be caught away, which sets in motion then the release of groaning creation. Read it, Romans 8. It's all setting in motion. So this is why our warfare is so instrumental, brothers and sisters, in all of this. You see, very few Christians, they'll pray. But if you use terms, we need to enter into warfare, I'm sorry to say, but a lot of them, you've lost them. You've lost them. They do not know what you're talking about. I mean, they know the word, but they do not know it experientially. They're not aware that God puts within us tongues, languages. He puts within us an authority to address the powers of darkness. Because the Bible's clear that what is bound on earth, bound in heaven. What is loosened on earth is loosened in heaven. That is the church's responsibility. God isn't going to do it for us. He achieved that at Calvary. He's now saying, you enact that. Do what I did for you. Use my name. And you watch. The powers of darkness have to retract. This is why I go on like I do. And I ask us to pray like I do. Because we are pushing back at the moment the powers of darkness. We're keeping them. You remember I told you a few weeks or months ago, the Lord opened my eyes to this. What happens when somebody gets arrested? What do they put on them?
Cuffs.
Handcuffs. And that is a sign you are restricted. In other words, you can't run away. You're being arrested. We do exactly the same to the powers of darkness. We handcuff them so that they cannot continue to do their devilish work. Where we battle, and listen to this, where we battle is we listen at times to the devil's lies. The devil tries to tell you, I am not bound. Look, nothing's changed. Look, it's still happening and everything. Well, that is a giveaway in itself, is it not? Is that not a giveaway? Of course it is. Why would he suggest that? Why would he be saying that? Because it has happened. We just haven't seen the manifestation yet. And this is why I say, if you're standing on healing or standing believing for finances or whatever it is, wait for it to manifest. Don't listen to the devil's lies. I know when I stand for on healing, he becomes very vocal, very vocal. And you battle for a while until you realize, why is he saying this? Why is he trying to oppress my mind? Because God has answered. That's why. Now, we eventually get it. We do get it eventually because we're sons and daughters of God. That's why. But what a battle it is sometimes, isn't it? You know, and I know what he's doing. He's trying to wear us down. He's trying to weaken us. I know what he tries to do. Or it plays on your mind, particularly when you go to bed or you don't sleep very well that night and you've got to get up the following day. Oh, I've got a face day. I really could go back to bed or whatever it is. These are all where he's trying to break you down. And all I know you do at that point, you just rest. Just rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And he will manifest, he will be seen. When you're in those conditions, don't start trying to fight, because that's where he's trying to weaken you. Just keep your confession, just keep your stand. Yes, you may not be feeling very well, you may be feeling really tired, you may be feeling drained. Just stand, just keep that confession going. Don't try and prove anything. You don't have to prove anything. You're destined for the kingdom. Royalty, a prince, a queen, a king, does not have to try and prove they are. They are. So you don't have to prove anything. You are. Just hold in there and you watch. And the Lord will raise a banner, a standard against the enemy. And he does it every time. And eventually we get it. We get it. Because the enemy wants to tire you. He wants to wear you out. He's very good at doing that. Very good. So there we are. We share these things amongst us because we've all gone through it, haven't we? And we speak from experience over these things. And this is why we continue to preach the kingdom of God, because it's what we're destined for. And when you embrace the kingdom of God, you embrace the whole revelation of God's word and all his promises, and you embrace the greatest blessing that's coming shortly to the church, and that is the rapture, the snatching away of the saints, the overcomers. God knows just how long to keep us in this wicked world, and he won't keep us an extra second longer than is needed. When he's done and he has accomplished what he wants to do through the overcomers, mark my words, when he has done everything he wants to do, then he will call us up to be together with the Lord in the clouds. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, in your quiet time after this teaching, have a look again at Romans 8 and have a read of it. You'll see it in a completely different light.
Let constancy, follow the master.